よー、皆さん、満月でポッドキャストへようこそ。本日、毎日と同じように僕たちが新しい日本語を教えます。本日はちょっと違うなんですけれども、本日はね、新しく面接をやりたいさせていただきたいと思います。やりさせていただきたいと思います。うわ、今日は日本語絶対に話せないみたい。どうするか。 Hey everybody, welcome to the Manga Sensei Podcast. I'm your host, John Sensei. And today, like every day, we're bringing you the world's most epic language in 5 minutes or less. And as you heard in that intro, we're starting something new as of today. We're doing interviews every single Saturday of the year, 52, however many weeks there are in the year. We're going to be doing an interview with people who have used Japanese or speak fluent Japanese or are learning JapeseAnd how they have learned it, what tips and tricks they have to offer, and how you can use these things in your life to become a better Japanese speaker. Today, we are with my good friend Aaron James. We lived in Japan during the same time and met each other a couple times. He not only speaks this language, but he also is into Chinese. So he somehow manages between these three languages. But give us an self-introduction, James. Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Thank you. My name's Aaron James. I'm from Idaho, born and raised here. And I was kind of thrown into the language of Japan when I moved there. And it was a very awkward experience at first, but man alive, has it changed my life? Totally enjoy it.
Wonderful, wonderful. So when you went to Japan, you were just kind of thrown into the language, kind of like I was at the beginning, yeah? What do you find to be the hardest thing about Japanese?
One thing that I taught Japanese myself up here in Idaho as well. And one thing that I found that was difficult for me and my students is typically grammar structure.
Gotcha. What about the grammar's hard for you?
Typically, we relate a second language to our native language. So I always go with I eat cake. Right. But in Japanese, the verb is always last, so it's I cake eat.
Right.
So it's a different language than that. And there's a few other different changes, but it totally changes the way that you see how to speak and to express ideas.
Yeah. Did you feel a little bit overwhelmed when you were there? I know I did.
Oh, yeah. I'll admit, I cried in bed trying to learn this language, but man, now I cry with joy.
Right.
That I can speak this language.
Exactly. I think at least for myself, that when you first start learning a language, it's that, I don't know, that dedication that like moves you past all the tears. But after you reach a certain point, you can start relaying your thoughts. You're no longer listening for, you know, the articles of wa ga ni e wo de. You're starting to put things together and sentences. When was that point for you? When did you feel like you could finally start articulating or at least understanding what was going on?
Ooh, that's a hard one, because typically when you're studying a language, it just kind of naturally happens. It's hard to say that to students, that it naturally happens.
Yeah.
But for me, when I started to realize like little tips and tricks for myself, I started to feel more comfortable. Let's see, that was, I would say it took me about 5 months. And
ooh.
That is me just trying to figure out on my own.
Right.
I was put with a lot of other people that were starting to learn Japanese themselves. I didn't have like an experienced teacher or something.
Uh-huh.
But personally seeing with my students, I can see that someone could start to kind of get the basis of Japanese around the second month if you know how to do it and know how your brain works.
So then you're saying the thing that you think helps people the most with Japanese, or at least with yourself, is knowing how your own brain works. Not so much the being able to just force down vocab or something, but understanding the meta of your own Japanese language learning.
Yeah, definitely. People can give you tips and tricks, but everybody's brain is different. And,
right.
I mean, there are visual learners, there are audible learners, and sometimes when you think you're a visual learner, you're
right.
Actually an audible learner. So you kind of have to do everything to figure out what works, and you really have to push yourself, just as a child is trying to learn how to walk.
Yeah, I think, I remember when I was first learning, and I after about 15 to 20 minutes of like straight Japanese, my brain would start to check out. It would just start to like want to be done. I'd get really tired, I'd get easily distracted. I think that diligence, at least for me, the diligence played a big part. But I think you're definitely right. Finding how does your brain work? Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when I first started teaching Japanese, I had a kid who just really was struggling with vocabulary. You remember Jose, right? Jose Romero? Guatemalan kid? Either way, he really struggled with Japanese, especially like the vocab words. So literally, we would walk down the street and we would just like point at objects. And that was the best thing for him, just like seeing it and actually like understanding the connection with brain. Because he was also learning it from his second language to his third.
Yeah, that could be really hard. Oh my gosh, that could be really hard.
So he, you know, seeing the ohako for the sidewalk and then seeing the michi and then seeing the, you know, the denchi song and, you know, seeing these different things so you can start actually applying them was how he started doing it, but it didn't work for me at all. I mean...
Yeah. Definitely, like, you have to give your brain breaks, and one of the cool thing you can do is if you make it fun, then your brain sees it as a break, so you get more study time. But you want to give yourself about 30 minutes of study time and about 5 to 10 minutes of a break. And this actually applies to not only language learning, but for normal studies as well.
Yeah. So how would you recommend people give themselves a break? I know a lot of people who use, for example, our website use comic books, manga, and then so they're reading, they're trying to read manga or listening to the manga or what have you, and or listening to the podcast, and so it's fairly consumable. How do you remove your brain for that 5-10 minutes, like you said, so you can come back fresh?
To give yourself a little bit of a break?
Yeah. So, if I do a break, I tend to, you know, I'll get on Facebook and then I'll be on Facebook for half an hour. That's not a break.
Yeah. I mean, you could do that. Mm-hmm. My school teaches that you could do that. But you can also, some people enjoy Japanese music. Mm-hmm. And so you could just sit back, play the music, and not focus too hard on trying to understand, but just enjoy it. Just don't stress your brain out too much. Right now, I'm playing the new game called Nier Automata, and you can change the settings to Japanese, so it can be written in English and speaking in Japanese, or vice versa. And just enjoy the language, enjoy the experience. Don't stress yourself out too much.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. So James? I keep calling you James, Aaron. You got those names that like both could be first names. Like I have a friend named Josh Henry.
Oh, yeah. I have three first names. My middle name is Daniel, and I get called all three, so I'm totally fine with
Holy
it.
Holy smokes. Yeah. That's a rough one. My wife, she hears that too. She's Christine. Her middle name's Elizabeth. So she's got those first names. And then I gave her my last name, which we're not going to talk about because that's just awkward. But one of the fun things, I think, with Japanese is breaking down how you study and then finding something fun in Japanese to say with, like you said, like video games or finding music that you like, or even if it's comic book, something that you can take your brain from what you're doing, but still, if you can, still be enjoying Japanese, because it is fun, and that's why we want to do it. We want to, you know, people have a whole bunch of different reasons for wanting to study Japanese, but at the end of the day, you want to be able to enjoy it. You want to be able to connect with people or read something that you like or understand something that you wouldn't have beforehand. I know one of the things for me when I enjoy something fun was recently I started listening to Japanese bands that I liked and then actually just looking at their lyrics to look what they were saying. Because at first I couldn't understand. Now I've gotten used to certain bands' voices, I can hear the words now. And though it's not super useful all the time, I can kind of take a break by listening to music. Now I just listen to that music, you know, when I'm walking to work.
Yeah, definitely like that. One thing that's cool about doing all that, when you're starting to listen and understand, your brain is starting to accept new ideas, because every language has a limitation. English can express such amazingly ideas and such, and same with Japanese. There are words in English you can't translate over, and vice versa, you can't translate Japanese words into English. And when you're learning that language, whatever it may be, you're realizing you're giving up yourself.
Yes.
So with you guys that are learning Japanese, you got to realize you got to give up English. When studying Japanese, it's Japanese. You can't really compare it to English. It's different. Even the word for blue and green, even though they directly translate over, the perspective of those two colors is different. Let's take the streetlight, for example, with those two colors.
Yeah.
If you look at streetlight in America, it's going to be red, yellow, and green.
Here, but in the U.S. Yeah, at least.
But what was that? You broke off for a quick second.
In the U.S., it's you know, green, yellow, and red, right?
Yes. And in Japan, that green is actually blue. It's the same exact color, but how they look at the color spectrum is a lot different.
Yes.
I wish we had a little visual aid on right now, but the color spectrum between blue and green has this kind of shade in between. And how Americans place it, we typically place it right in the middle. Mm-hmm. But in Japan, they kind of put that green spectrum a little into the blue part.
Yep. So like when you're sitting at the kōsatten, when the little voice comes on, "Ao ni narimashita ra," and I was like, "Ao." Wait, what? What?
Yeah.
Midori de shou. Midori da yo.
I actually had a debate with Izaki. I don't know if you ever met Mr. Izaki in Nagano, Ken.
I don't think I did. I may have.
He's from Nagano.
Okay.
But he would visit Ueda quite a bit, which is where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his first time hearing that in America that the street light is green. And so we just debated. We'd be like going down the street. He was driving me all over the place. We'd just going down. And I would be like, "Midori ni narimashita." And he'd just say, "Eh, sore wa aou da." Like, "Chigau, chigau. Sono koto wa midori desu ne? Hai, sore wa midori. Sore wa mou aou desu ne? Hai. Dakara, shingo wa midori desu ne?" We did that about 20 minutes. And there we go. That's another thing you could do to make the language much more fun. It's just fun little interactions that you could do with yourself, with others, and just make it memorable.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree with that. So, right, how do you structure your language study?
Ooh, language study? Just like...
So if you were to sit down for an hour and you were to study Japanese right now, how would you break up that hour?
Okay. For me, I usually do designated days.
Okay.
Because I'm a very good visual learner. I used to study art. And so when it comes to the art perspective, which would be kanji or the written language, I could do that on the go. I could just walk down the street and see it, characters and be able to learn it. And so my struggle is grammar.
Okay.
And bring vocabulary words and diving deep what that word means.
Right.
So let's say today I have designated Sunday as my grammar day.
Uh-huh.
So I would set a goal down. Typically it's a range goal from like, let's say 3 to 5. I want to learn 3 to 5 different grammar principles. And previously I look at my book. If you look at my book, I wish I had it right on me. It's in my room currently.
You okay?
I have all these colored tabs.
Uh-huh.
And tabs are close range from a different, distance to the top. And the closer it is to the top is telling me how well I have that principle.
Gotcha.
So typically I pick one that I am struggling with.
Uh-huh.
I am pretty good at in the middle, and then even one that I have learned, like mastered it.
Uh-huh.
Because you want to give that benefit to your brain. Your brain likes to feel like it's doing something. If you're always doing the hardest thing, your brain's going to hate it because it feels like it's going to be being punished for learning something that's difficult. So you do want to do something hard.
Uh-huh.
You want to do something that's probably a little easier, and of course, do something that just makes you feel good, that you know that you have this down. And so then it hits about the 30-minute mark, and yeah, your brain starts to fizz out. And so I usually just sit down and just relax. Just just let it reflect in my brain, just kind of be a little lazy back. I don't exactly go out of the room or anything. I just kind of sit down, relax, play some music. I don't try to go on Facebook because that's a little too addicting for me past the 15-minute mark.
Yeah.
But then I sit back down, and for the last 15 to 20 minutes, I go back and review everything that I learned. So I guess the steps are, one, to make a goal. Two, sit down and try to study it. Three, take a quick little break. Four, review. And review is such a huge thing. Your brain will forget almost 50% of its knowledge within the first 30 minutes. So you got to make sure that that 30 minutes that you study is not going to go out the next out of your brain in the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. So for everybody out there, when we all study, structure our Japanese studies a little bit differently. I think it's really good to hear how Jordan Peele study them so you can see where they hit there, whether they're focusing on their strengths or their weakness. But I think across the board, it's really good to get that review. Recently, I've been going over the just the basics as I go and teach this again. I see these little things that I remember, and I see these things that I could have, I can use it that way. I forgot about that. You know, those little things, those little nuances that help you really fit your thoughts and ideas into the language. And I really think reviews do. So one thing I do is I always go at the end and I try to review my whatever I learned that day, just a quick review, whatever I did before, and I just review it right before I go to bed.
That's really good. Yeah.
I just take whatever, if I did it like during my hour study, if I did 20 vocab words were part of my study, then I'm going to take that time. I'm just going to say them out loud right before I go to bed. And then I'm going to say what if I did, like you said, you did a range go from like 3 to 5, maybe, thing, grammar points to learn, saying those out loud before I go to bed. You know, if it was amari, so we're going to use beginning conjunction of amari, it'd be like, amari samuku nai desu. Amari, and next vocab word, amari ikanenakatta desu. Like, you just go through amari with all of them, then I can go to sleep.
Oh, yeah. I love amari. It's one of the words I use most of the time, too.
I use amari, and I the ones that really throw me off, or suyukoto nano de, I get stuck in the de, and then I end up putting a taboo in later. And my sentence patterns tend to repeat after a little while. It's good. No, I appreciate that. I also like the little break. I think you're right on talking about that break. So last question I'll ask you before we jump into some Japanese here, if you're comfortable with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been a while since I've been able to speak it, but...
Hey, you know, one thing we say if you'll ever listen to our podcast is at the end of every podcast we say, after 10,000 mistakes, you become fluent. Therefore, let's make mistakes. So we're all about making mistakes. The sooner those mistakes, the sooner you can become fluent, you know?
Oh, yeah. There's some hilarious mistakes that you'll do, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know, Jason Prestwich.
Yeah.
He was, my gosh. It was a struggle sometimes because he would get us in trouble with his Japanese.
I think that's what we're probably talking about. You remember Kevin Baker?
Oh, yeah, Elder Baker. Oh. He got so good later on, though.
He got quite good, but he also made quite a few fun mistakes when I was retraining him. It was fun. But okay, so
don't try it. Well, be around people that are good at the language to learn it, but also try to teach that language to others that are kind of struggling, because when you're studying, you're studying, but when you're teaching, you're really learning.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely learning.
You can't teach when you don't know the subject, so at least try to teach it.
Oh, yeah. So last question I'll ask you before we go into this is, what would be, if you suddenly right now just poof, all your Japanese disappeared from your head, if you were to start from ground zero right now, where would you start?
Where would I start?
If you were to talk to a person who comes to you and says, I love Japanese culture, I think it's super cool and interesting, what should I do to start? Tell me what I should do, Aaron.
I'm just so goal-oriented. I just have to set a goal. I have to change up my whole day and schedule to even make like my most busy schedule a part of Japanese. So I work at a pet store. So I would even just say, like, for today, I'm going to learn a new animal's name. And whenever I see that animal, I'm going to say that word out loud. So let's see. When I first started out Japanese, I'm very visual oriented.
Yeah.
So first thing I started out with was hiragana and katakana.
Right.
Because I need to see it, like, how they say it. So I may hear ka, but I don't understand ka.
Mm-hmm.
And so me learning hiragana, ka, I was better able to not only understand it, but actually pronounce it better. And I, through goals, let's see, I did about 2 hours in 2 days of just hiragana katakana, and I was able to read hiragana and katakana in 2 days.
Nice, nice. That's actually the challenge we give to all of our first learners. We tell them, for day one, learn hiragana. Day two, learn katakana. And day three, let's start using the vocab.
And flashcards? Flashcards have helped me out so much.
Nice.
And there's little tips and tricks that I could show you if you guys are interested. But right now, we probably don't have the means of doing that.
Tell you what, you send those to me, and I'll just put them on our we have Among Us Today website. We'll put that on your page. We're going to give you a nice page on there with the information about our interview, with all of the information you've given us today. And if you want to give them any resources, we'll put them on that page down and also in our show notes down below, okay?
Definitely will, yeah. But yeah, if you make goals, there's nothing you can't do.
I agree.
I mean, sky's the limit.
As long as the sky is your goal.
Oh yeah. And even the beautiful thing about the language is that the analogy of aim for the moon, and even if you miss, you go among the stars. Like, with the language, you may mess up, but you're going to learn a new language. I know somebody learned the word bike, jitensha, through the word angel. He was trying to say the word angel, which is tenshi.
Uh-huh.
Wait, tenshi?
Tenshi, yeah. Tenshi.
Yeah. And he totally screwed it up, and he said jitensha instead of angel. But because of that mistake, he is always going to remember that word as bicycle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are just kind of simple tips for me. I first sit down, set a goal, and for me being a visual learner, I get down on hiragana and katakana, learn how to write it. I mean, that's nice that Japanese has somewhat of an alphabet.
It's true. Three of them, in fact.
Yeah.
All right. それで日本語の一番間違いは何だろう、ジェームズ？
何だろうなね。多分恋バナ。違う。それに多分ダメと思います。
あ、そうか。まあいいんじゃないそれ。そう、日本語の間違い、一番日本語の間違いは何だったの？自分の間違いだ。
自分の間違い、
はい、
日本語で。
日本語の間違い。
なんだろう。ねえ、ちょっと待って。
待ちますよ。大丈夫。ゆっくりと話してもいいよ。
おお、そっか。彼女だ。
彼女？
彼女は違うの言葉。
はい。
もういつもいつも彼女を使ってる。だから、
はい。
女性を使ってる方がいい時に、
はい。
いつも彼女と言ってる。
あ、
そして私の友達たちが話しているときに、
はい、
あれ、その女性はあなたの彼女ですか？
はい。
でもその時に全然分からなかった。
はい。
だから、はい、その女性は私の彼女と言った。さあまあ。
そういう時もあるね。
でもなかった。長い時でした。だから、まあ、多分2ヶ月のぐらいにいつも彼 彼女と言っただから日本の女性全部私の彼女です。
ああもういっぱいいるんだね。
もういっぱいいるね。
すげえなそれ。僕は彼女はなんか僕の奥さんしかいないけど
いないよ
大丈夫大丈夫。僕はね、僕をよく間違えてしまったんだよ。よくよく。例えばね、あの僕となんかあの知ってるのがケビンちゃんね。僕とケビン君はちょっとなんかファミリーレストランに行って、彼と注文していたかったんです。しかし、あのどういうなんかチキンの発音に結構減ったんだよ。すごい減った。そうそうそう。そう、チキンじゃなくて、なんかチキンカツを注文つもりだっただけど、ケビンちゃんがチキンじゃなくて、チカンと言っちゃった。チカンカツ。
あ、チカン、チカンカツ。
チカンじゃなくて、チカン、Child Molester。
あ、そういう意味ですか。
そう、チキンが、なんかやっぱりニワトリです。しかし、チカンが、時間じゃなくて、なんか時の時間じゃなくて、時間だよ。時間がなんか電車でなんか女性の知り合い座る人だ。時間カツを欲しいでって。僕は超笑った。いや、何言ってるか分からないよ、お前。何を言ったバレよって言って。あ、ケビン君がいっぱいあったよ、本当に。なんかね、何言うつもりだったか分からなかったですけれども、ね、あの彼がね、あのおこおなんか起きる、なんか僕はなんか、彼はいつかね、よく覚えてないけど、彼がなんか寝すぎたのがいっぱいあったんで、なんか6時半じゃなくて、なんかもっとなんか寝たつもりだったので、僕に頼ったのは、6時半に起きてくださいって言ったんですよ。しかし、起きるじゃなくて、起こすと言っちゃった。僕を貸してください。Please rape me. ケビン、それを言うな。起こすな。起きるなよ。起きるだ。起こすじゃねえ。
全然違う。その最後のなんか意図は、音は全然
違う。違うんでしょ。
いる、おかす、なんか。
ね、その発音が大事なんだよ。その大事。ああ、もう、日本語難しいだね。
で
も、簡単な方もあるし。
もう言ったけど、
はい。
まあ、レストウィッチは、なんかいつも彼の日本語はヘッドでした。
そうなの？
そう、電車を乗ってる時に、
はい、
彼がトレーニーの女性に話したかった、
はい、
この女性は手の中に花がありました。多分この花は学生が違う、学校から来ました。
うん、からなんかハッタなの？
あ、女性ですが、でも、そして、その、
はい、
レッスルチは、その花について話したかった。でも、彼の言ったことは、その魚は何ですか？
花と魚が違えんなよ。フィッシュと、フラワー。
一人ではなかった。みんなで、私も
なんで魚って
そう、彼は、What is flower? と言った。それ後に私は、花。What did I say? 魚。What is 魚? Fish!
ああ、その失敗もあるんですね。
まあ、みんなが失敗。
でもね、あの僕たちがこのポッドキャストでよく言われることだ。僕たちのことわざは、後世間違いペリペリになる。ですから間違いましょう。それで僕たちがこのポッドキャストがちょっと終わらないといけないので、皆さん覚えてください。間違っても、何でも間違えても、悪い言葉でもの、おかすでもの、花が咲かぬということでも、間違っても大丈夫。 間違いを通し日本語を信奉するですから間違いましょう皆さん。それで James, I'll let you have James, Aaron, I'll let you have the last word here and we will sign off.
Hey. Hey, yeah, this was a great opportunity. Thanks. Oh my gosh, I can't remember your first name.
John.
John?
Yes.
John?
John.
Okay, John. Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. Guys, don't give up. You're going to make many mistakes. No one's perfect. I taught so many students and nobody has gone through it perfect. But you'll make it through. If you're diligent about it and you make goals, if you really know how your brain works, I give you guys about 3 months, but don't get down on yourself. It's going to take a year. It took me about, I think 5 to 6 months it took me to learn from scratch.
Awesome. And that's to each person. So that's why I want you to remember that. You can do your own, but we really encourage you to make mistakes. So thank you, Aaron. I appreciate having you on the thing. And we'll tell everybody, see you tomorrow. Ja ne.
Ja ne.